so many people have these limiting beliefs and they have these bad habits or doubts that they gain from their parents. And I never had none of that shit. You know, I always believed I could, even when I was broke. My father committed suicide when I was 24. He blew his brains out. And I was scared for like my future. Like I knew I had to take care of the family. I knew I had to step up and be the man of the family. But I just felt like, all right, I guess it's time to show what I'm made of.
What I want to do is give them a little bit of context first. Because I feel like if I just get into the intro, it's not going to make sense. When we first started together and how I got to know you, I had this dream of building that dating business. And I met you at a conference and joined your $1,000 program, and it made me $4,000.
And it was only $1,000 then.
It was only $1,000 back then. It was just like a digital program thing.
Yeah, yeah. Times just changed.
Yeah. So that made me 4,000. And at the time I was still driving Uber and I was making content and kind of people know who I was online a little bit in the pickup space, dating space. And I remember I was driving someone and they were in the back and they're like, "Yo, are you Mo?" And he was someone who was regularly seeing my content. And it was just such a fucking embarrassing moment for me because I was like, why am I not making more money and I'm driving my audience around in a fucking Uber? And like, it's just a weird, awkward ride now. And I remember I was like, all right, I got to work with Brandon. And that's when I reached out to you. And I think at the time it was like 10K for like a year of coaching. And yeah, you helped me make back 30K in 1 week.
Yeah, you had the record at the time. I think some people have come in broken since then, but you had the record for like most money the first month.
So that was 30K in 1 week. So first off,
good investment. That's a good investment.
Great investment. Great investment. And it's not just the 30K, it's the lifetime of being able to do this and the money that I've made over the years. So I'm happy to have you on the podcast, man. I not only view you as a mentor, but someone who's just, I regularly look up to as a badass and a friend and someone I can just, it's an inspiration just to see you regularly grow no matter what every single year.
That means a lot to me, man. And I'm super proud of you. Like that. I'm super proud that I was able to play a part, right? Like you did the work, but you know, I just provided guidance and structure. And some people get that and don't, you know, do nothing with it, right? But to see what you've done, especially how right out the gate, you know, it's just, it makes me like really happy inside to see, you know, like I planted a little seed. And now it's a full oak tree, man. You know, big, powerful tree. That's what it feels like.
Thank you. For people who are going to be watching this and they don't know who you are, which is very few, let's talk about the story. How'd you go from streets of Chicago, streets of Chicago to multimillionaire?
Well, yeah, like you said, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And, you know, it's reputation precedes itself, you know. And if you watch, I watched a documentary on this rapper named King Von and it was by this guy named Trap Lord Ross. I'm cool with him. And I was like, yeah, that's home. Like when he's documented, like, yeah, that's home. That's where I'm from. It's outside of Chicago. And, you know, I'm going to skip a lot of parts and get to the punchline. It really just came from a lot of hard work and some luck. And as far as the luck is concerned, is I had amazing parents. And I think I may have discounted how important that was, you know, but I've coached so many people and so many people have these limiting beliefs and they have these bad habits or doubts that they gain from their parents. And I never had none of that shit. You know, I always believed I could, even when I was broke. Right. And even when my father committed suicide when I was 24, he blew his brains out. And you know, as I was sad, but I wasn't scared for like my future. Like I knew I had to take care of the family. I knew I had to step up and be the man of the family, but I just felt like, all right, I guess it's time to show what I'm made of. And the irony is that I got that from my dad, even though his life ended, you know, in tragedy. I got it from him, you know, and that's where the luck comes in from. But other than that, it's like just a lot of hard work, consistency, and the only lucky part was I had two amazing parents. Yeah.
What do you think were some of the traits that you got from your parents that people don't regularly get?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, when we were on the south side of Chicago, you know, we didn't have a car or nothing, right? We were poor. And my mom used to wake me up at like 5 as a fucking toddler and walk me to preschool. Mm. You know, a lot of in the Chicago snow, right? Walk me to preschool, then get on the bus and go to work, right? After she dropped me, I was the first kid at preschool. And I didn't even see my dad a lot growing up, even though he lived with us. He was always like flying around trying to build his business, you know, trying to get it off the ground. And I think it was just a work ethic of them too. You know, my mom worked on Saturdays, my dad worked on the weekends. So like when I was real little, I would have to go to my dad to his office. So I'm in there playing G.I. Joes or whatever while he's doing shit on the weekends. And I think that work ethic, you know, was something that I picked up, you know, involuntarily. You feel what I'm saying? And
yeah.
But here's the main thing, Mo. You know, when I think a lot of people tell their kids when they're young, you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. But I don't know if the kids believe it, you know? And they may stop telling them that as they start getting older. As they get older, they tell them to be realistic, set obtainable goals. When they're little, you tell kids everything. We lie to kids all the time, fucking Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy. And I think the kids know it's a lie, but I believed it. And let me tell you why. I believed it because I got sent away to military school for high school. And because I got in some trouble, nothing crazy, you know, nothing too crazy. Just, you know, some fights, skip to school, shootouts, normal shit, nothing crazy. And then I go to military school and that's when my dad's business finally starts to pick up. Right. And this is like, I'm 15. And he had the business since before I was born. It didn't start working. We're talking about, I don't know, 15, 20 years of fucking working. And then it finally starts to pick up. And by the time I graduated from military school, high school, he was making $3 million a year.
Wow.
And that's adjusted for inflation. That's about $8 million in today's money, right? A year. Then I didn't experience it though, right? Because I was the military school, I lived there. And then I went to college. And by the time I was out of college, he had lost all the money. He fucked it up, right? And then he killed himself. But I knew it happened. You get what I'm saying? Like, so when I hear him telling me I can accomplish something, I can do whatever I want, I believed it because he did it. It wasn't bullshit, right? If he was a fucking janitor telling me that, I'm like, yeah, whatever, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sure thing, motherfucker. Make sure you sweep that shit up, right? But I believed it because he did it. Like, he was balling for an amount of time. I didn't experience none of it. I didn't reap any of the benefits. He left us. He left me with nothing, right? You know, but I knew what happened. You get what I'm saying? And it was inspiring to me.
What did you learn from the... Of course, the success, you learned a lot in terms of the consistency and actually self-belief and being able to get shit done. But what would you learn from the fall of the $3 million per year?
The fall. What I learned was that success is more dangerous than failure. You get what I'm saying? Because now you got leverage, right? You know, a broke boy watching this, he can only fuck his life up so much. Because he don't have no power, he don't have no money. But once you have leverage, then you can expedite things, right? You know what I'm saying? So For example, the average person, you gave this motherfucker $100,000, he would end up in debt. In a worse situation, he put down payments on shit. Shit he can't afford. And now he's fucking struggling to make these payments. The average person would end up worse.
Right.
if you just gave him some money. So that's one thing. And another thing is, you got to keep your foot on the gas, or you can't indulge in the fruits of your labor.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I make a few million a year now, but I'm still up 5 a.m., 4:30. You know, I can see out my window the fucking best strip club in Miami. And, you know, I haven't been once since I lived there. It was 3 years, right? Not because I'm a prude or anything. You know, it's just, I'm trying to stay focused. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think the average person who's had all the money that I have, I don't think they'd still be getting up early, working 10, 12 hours a day, really still pushing themselves. You know? And that's because they're doing it for the reward. But I'm not doing it for the reward. I'm doing it to see what I'm made of.
Interesting. So the mentality behind the consistency is to see what you're made of. What do you mean by see what you're made of?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked. It's, you know, the average person walking around. And I noticed because I've coached thousands of people in both fitness and business. And there's so much untapped potential in literally everyone. I really believe that. I don't believe I'm special in that regard. You know, it's just they haven't brought that potential to the surface, nor are they trying. Mm. Right? They're really, because there's a difference between doing something and doing it the best you can do it. Right. And then there's a difference between trying to do it the best that it can be done. Right. Like shooting for it. Right. Trying to shoot past what you can do, trying to keep improving. And for me, a lot of the pride comes from, okay, I pride myself on doing things that people,
It just does that every 30 minutes, yeah.
Okay, that's me. I pride myself on doing things that other people feel like it's difficult, you know, or because I know that means that I'm reaching down and bringing more of my potential to the surface. You know, I just want to see what percentage of my potential can I bring to fruition. And if I do that, you know, like, yeah, the money and all the other shit will come. You know, it's the money's like a scoreboard almost, right?
Right. What is getting to the potential, I guess, what does that bring out? Because the whole point of it is you're trying to get to this potential, which essentially is going to be nonstop. Because once you do feel like you're at the potential, you're like, I could do more. Mm-hmm. So what is that feeling bringing you that is motivating all of this or inspiring you to continue doing this? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. It's for me, man, it's that's the game. You know, I think a lot of people, they think, man, once I have this amount of money, I'll be able to chill. Once I have this, I'll be good. Or once I have that. And they look at life as if it was a game like, I don't know, Mario or something. Right. But for me, it's like Minecraft, right? It's not a game I want to be. It's one game I want to keep playing and keep improving at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to beat the game and finish it.
Right.
My goal is to keep playing and get better at it for as long as I can. It's not Mario. It's Minecraft. If that makes sense?
That makes total sense.
I've never played Minecraft. I think that's how it works. I may be wrong.
I've never played it as well, but I understand what you mean. One is you're trying to get to the end. The other one is you're just trying to build for the sake of building.
The game is it's the play,
right?
It's the play, right? Okay. You know, we're not. The goal is to keep playing and keep, you know, improving. I think that's how my brain works. works.
Were there any mentors who made a massive difference for you during this game of just building and playing?
I think the first one was my dad, as far as work ethic is concerned. And I learned sales from him, you know, because he did all the sales for his business. And I learned how to sell from him. And he was really good at it, you know. And he was a street dude. Like, he didn't even have a high school diploma, right? He was just a street dude, ex-fucking gang leader, right? And to see him accomplish that, I was like, oh, shit, man. All right, I can do it, you know?
Right.
And so it was him initially. Then I had mentors, like, in the streets. You know, I don't want to get too into it, you know, just... You know, but it was like, there was some guys who were mentors who were like criminals. And most of them are dead or in prison now. And they mentored me in a different way, right? Like, I saw that, oh, I don't need to be on this path anymore. This is not the path that's going to take me where I need to be. You know, this is how this story ends. And I was able to recognize those patterns and then move into, you know, more legitimate things. I think it was right when, it was the same year my dad killed himself. One of my boys, SV, he got sent to prison. He's doing life in prison, double homicide. And then my other friend, Esco, he was murdered. They found him, his car full of bullets in New Jersey.
Wow.
And some other stuff that I don't think I'm at liberty to say, but it's like, just the people around me started, I was like, oh, this is what this gets you, right? Sometimes you need the negative mentors as well, right? Like, so you can see what not to do. I think that's just as important, right? Because experience is the best teacher, but it doesn't have to be your experience. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be your experience. But then when we start moving into that, when I started trying to do things in a legit way, I think Elliot Hulse was one of my first like mentors, you know, like big brother kind of relationship we had. And his business partner at the time, he's from Canada too, so you'll appreciate this, dude named Matt Gallant. He really helped me out a lot. Matt really helped me out a lot. I learned so much from him. And, you know, now Matt owns a company called Bio Optimizers, and he told me that they're doing like 50 million this year. He did that, like, wow. 50 million last year. Yeah. And Owen from RSD and Ty, like I have a real friendship with Ty. Like, we have each other's phone numbers and shit, you know, like we text each other sometimes, like Ty Lopez. I mean, yeah, those were like very first starting out. It was probably those four who were like my biggest mentors.
You almost had to have mentors who taught you not what to do first before you had to have mentors who did teach you what to do.
Otherwise, I'd have found out the hard way when it's too late, right?
Right.
You know?
Right. For people who are watching this who are broke as fuck, right? Because I see you regularly give the idea of like, yo, listen, if you're broke, get a fucking job first. Like, make some money.
What are you thinking about?
What do you tell the guy who's like, I don't want to waste time working a job, I want to build my thing? What would be his first move? Would you still tell him, nah, get a job?
Yeah, man, listen, I understand that's what he wants, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to fuck Kim Kardashian, right? But it doesn't mean that that's fucking reality right now, today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you can't do it, right? I'm just talking about, let's look at where we're at and let's handle what's in front of us. You get what I'm saying? So starting a business with no money is fucking borderline stupid. You know, it's you, because you got to still survive in the meantime. You got to pay rent. You got to pay bills. You got to, you know, food, water, shelter, you know? So what I did, exactly what I did after my father killed himself, I started working like four jobs. I woke up at 4:30 because I've been used to waking up early. No big deal. I trained people in the morning, and then I would shower at the gym, and I would work security at the Prada store in Soho. And then after that, I would work for my boy's moving company. That was 5 days a week. And on the weekends, I woke up, trained people, and then was the weekend manager of barbecue restaurant in Queens. And I did that. That was like 12, between 10 and, between 10 and 14 hour days, seven days a week, for fucking 2 years. And I'm not saying you got to do it for that long, but guess what? I wasn't broke no more, right? In fact, I made over $100,000 both years. You get what I'm saying? And this was during the recession in 08. Like, you're too young to understand how bad that was. Like, there was people, like, the suicide rate started to skyrocket. There was, the unemployment hadn't been that high since the Depression. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was people with master's degrees working at Starbucks because no one was hiring. Like, real shit. That's why I was doing labor. I had a college degree, and I, you know, I couldn't get a job, like a good paying job. So I was like, fuck it, man. You know, I'm not going to let nothing stop me. Dead daddy, recession, fucking economic collapse, global financial markets crumbling. Yeah, bring it on. What else you got, pussy? Right? I'm just going to do my thing, right? Because shit ain't tougher than me, is the attitude I had. And the times are tough, but times ain't tougher than me. Let me show you, you know? And guess what? After those 2 years, hey, I had some disposable income. I could start my business. I'm not saying you have to wait 2 years, right? You don't even have to work as hard as I did, right? We are not in a global recession. Unemployment is the lowest it's been since in the last 50 years in America right now. Everything's doing great. Stock market just hit a fucking new all-time high not long ago, or just approached it. You know, like, things are fucking amazing here right now. I know people bitch and moan about inflation and shit, but it's better. Inflation is not as bad out of first world countries. America has one of the lowest inflation rates since the pandemic, right? Things are going phenomenal here. So you probably won't have to do it for 2 years. Stack some bread, go hard, stack some bread, and then build your shit, you know?
Right. So let me ask you this. If you lost everything tomorrow, you would do the same thing? Or with your knowledge and skills you have right now, you would do something different?
I'm starting from zero.
You're starting from zero.
Yeah, I'm starting from zero. I gotta eat. Well, I'm gonna need food tomorrow, right? So, like, I'm gonna go get a job, but I'm gonna go start a business, learn and market it like from scratch. Like, no, I'm gonna go get a job. Like, I'm not above that. What kind of dumb shit is that? You know, motherfuckers are. This is weird entitlement, man. Fucking, you know, I don't know, man. White boy shit, man. Motherfuckers entitled. Like, they deserve a business, man. Go get a fucking job.
Right. But with the knowledge you have,
you ain't got no money. What am I listen Mo,
with the audience as well
today. Oh, with the audience is different,
right?
You said zero. $0. We just started over. I ain't got no audience. I don't have no social media. I don't have, you know, it's just me, and I got to figure out a way to make, to eat food tomorrow. That's what I was thinking. Oh, yeah, fucking go get a job, man. I'll mop floors, fucking.
With audience, whatever. Though, what would you do?
What kind of, same audience I have now?
Same audience you have now, but you have $0 in your bank account.
Oh. Oh, it's too easy. Right, I don't know, Mo. That's too easy, right? And I don't know if it's applicable to. Listen, Mo. I have a million followers on three different platforms, right? Like I have a million on Facebook, a million on YouTube, a million on Instagram. It'd be too easy for me to get some bread. You know, it's. And I mean, I can answer the question if you want, but I just don't know if it's applicable to anyone listening.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at is would you say the audience is the most important asset behind a business? Because if you didn't have money, you know that you would make money from your audience regardless.
I think there's three forms of leverage, right, to help you make money faster and easier, right? And if you don't have any, you just got to use labor, right? You just got to, you know, or you get to work for someone else. But if you get, and the three forms of leverage are skills, right? If you are really good at something, you can get paid more for the same amount of work. For example, I have five closers on my sales team now, and the best one made close to like about $300,000 last year.
Nice.
The worst made, and I don't know worst, but you know, the other one made like there was one who made about, I don't know, just under $100,000. But they work the same amount of hours. One is just way better than the other.
Mm.
You know, so like skills is one way. Then obviously if you have money, money's like leverage, right? You know, I can if I have money, I can invest in real estate, stock market, another business, you know, put money in ads, and I can use that money to make more money, right? Or media, some form of media, right? So if you have a big audience, then, you know, Kim Kardashian can make $1 million today, right? If she decided she wanted $1 million today, she could probably like just reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'll promote your shit today, $1 million, take it or leave it, you know, on her Instagram, you know?
Easy. What were some habits you had to get rid of in each stage? So let's say 0 to 6 figures, 6 to 7, 7 to 8.
Yeah. Here's something I want to tell people, and I'm not saying this is the way, this is a way. I want you guys to think about this. Instead of breaking habits, let's just replace them.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Because abstaining sounds more difficult and it feels more difficult than crowding out, right? So for example, somebody may say, man, oh, I'm hanging around all these losers. I need to get better friends. How do I stop hanging around my friends? You know, like, you don't have to make it all ceremonial. You don't have to do nothing, right? I didn't do that. I just got so busy going after my goals that I didn't have time for anyone who wasn't involved with that. So it wasn't like a conscious, I'm cutting people off in this year, right? Fucking nerd shit, man. Nah, you ain't got to do that. It's just like, I'm so busy. My calendar was full with the shit I'm doing that I just didn't have time for that, right? Or if you, for example, if somebody, they can't stop eating and they want to lose weight, right? That's, you could just say, oh, I'm going to restrict this stuff. That's one way to go about it. Or let's just replace it with healthy options, right? Mm. Get full off salad, right? You know what I'm saying? Like you can do that, right? So it's not like breaking bad habits, because I feel like people get dorky about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially in like, right, you know, I have a lot of friends in the red pill space, and I'm not talking shit about any of the homies, right? It's just a lot of the red pill shit or the fucking manosphere shit. Is like motherfuckers make a big deal about not masturbating, and it's like, like it's gonna give them superpowers, man. It's like, nah, man. Like you should be so busy, just be so busy. You ain't got time to beat off all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because the amount of masturbation you partake in, there's no correlation with that in success. Mm-hmm. You got to do the things that get you that cause you to become successful. And if you do enough of those things, if your calendar is filled with enough of those things, doesn't matter how much you masturbate on the off times, right? That, I'm using that as an example, right? Because I feel like when sometimes people major in the minors and they make a big deal about breaking these habits, when I think whatever you focus on, you're going to feel, Mo, right? Whatever you focus on. So there's a difference between, man, I, for example, I can say, man, I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty, right? But there's like lack involved in that, right? It's almost fucking weak sounding. Like instead of saying, no, I need to get more water, right? Mm-hmm. Or instead of saying, oh man, I'm broke, I can't afford it. It's like, no, I need to get some more money, right? So instead of, oh, I need to break these habits, like, no, I need to build new habits. I need to do other shit. It's the same thing. And it may sound like it may sound like semantics, but it's powerful, because a lot of these habits that people want to break, almost none of them are hard, except for like real addictions, right? I'm familiar with like real addiction, like heroin or some shit, you know? But the other shit is like, you can really just crowd it out. Like, right. Pack your calendar full of the shit that you want to do, right? And that's more, it's more like you feel better about it. Oh, I want to do this stuff. And then you just don't have time for the other shit.
Right. The amount of effort it takes to master being or getting rid of a habit, it would just be easier to just do other shit that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You end up not doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if I could answer your question, it might sound like I evaded your question, so I'll answer it just because, like, you know, me, it was like chasing women. Not, and I don't want to say chasing because, you know, you can't chase the willing, Mo. You can't chase them if they ain't running, so maybe that's wrong.
Right.
But indulging in women, you know, I think that was slowing me down. But instead of saying, man, I got to leave the women alone, no, it was more like, let me just focus more on this other shit.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Just focus on other shit. And it was way easier. It's way easier to do that
for me. With that being said, you've been in a relationship for a while now. What do you feel like is the key to being in a positive relationship as an entrepreneur? Or some lessons or things that people can take away and implement?
I think, I don't know if I'm the best person, you know, every few years I've been in a new one, right? So like they don't, but I would say, well, for me, it's this thing. Sorry, remember, my thing is like, was too many women, right? You know, like just the time. So for me, I understand that, you know, I'm a better human when I'm in a relationship, right? I make more money. I'm more focused because I'm crowding out. Like if I'm with her, then I'm not with a bunch of bitches, right? You know what I'm saying? And you know, you ever read the 5 love languages?
Yeah,
I think you should. I think you should really screen for a woman whose love language is gifts.
Mm.
Let me tell you why. It's because you can always buy more shit, right? But like, time is your most important resources, right? Now I fucked up because my girl, you know, her love language is quality time, right? So I have to act accordingly, right? But me talking to the other entrepreneurs, if gifts is the one, it's like, it's super easy. Now, the reluctance people will have is that maybe you're a gold digger, but that doesn't mean that she's a gold digger, right? She's a gold digger. She doesn't admire you, you know?
Mm.
Right? If she doesn't admire you, she doesn't look at you as like someone who's aspirational, like someone that, man, this is a fucking great guy, you know? And she just wants the gifts, then yeah, you a sugar daddy, right? But if she really admires who you are, the man you are, right? You know, I think, right? You're the pickup artist, right? But I think I think it looks like this. Tim, you know what? I haven't shared this with a fucking former pickup artist. I don't know if you still do that kind of work anymore.
No, I don't.
All right,
it's been a while, man.
All right, check this out. Tell me what you think. Let me see if this shit works. I'm trying to share my screen, but I don't see nothing. You see my screen?
No, I don't see nothing yet.
Damn, I might be fucking up your whole video with this bullshit.
All right, cool. Yeah, there we go.
All right, so check this out. Let's say, okay, hold up. This is how I think about it, right? You tell me if this makes sense. I think that a woman really has to... Why is my shit not working? Fuck, now I'm fucking up your shit. Why isn't this working? Okay, there we go. All right. I think, let's say she, there's like high admiration. Like she really thinks you're like a fucking awesome guy, right? You know, respect. For many, it could be the way you look. It could be your attributes. You know, it could be your super masculine. You know more about this shit than me. And let's say low admiration, right? And then the value you can give her, right? Let's say it's low value and then high value, right? Mm. So think about it, right? If you're low value and if you can have like value to her life, right? You know what I'm saying? If you can provide low value and she doesn't admire you, you are what? A creep. Ew. She doesn't even want to associate with you, right? But if you
Oh my god.
But if you're right, am I right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Let's say you can bring low value to her life, but she admires you, right? This is like the fucking starving artist. Maybe you like a good ass guitar player at your local band or some shit, right? Yeah. Then you are like you can be a friend or a fuck buddy. Right, maybe she'll fuck you when she wants to feel good about herself, but she don't see a fucking future with your goofy ass. You know what I'm saying? Because you're poor, right? But like you may be sexy for some reason, or like she's like she's right. impressed. You're impressive, or like you know when she need to fucking move, she can call you or some shit. Right? You can help her move. You know, she'll let you help her move, motherfucker. And maybe you'll get the you up text a few times a year. You know what I'm saying? Now let's say she doesn't admire you, right? But this is supposed to be value on this side. I'm sorry, I fucked it up. This is supposed to be value, high value. I mean, you can bring high value to her life, maybe probably in form some sort of resources, right?
Right.
But she doesn't admire you, right? All right, man. Well, maybe you can be a friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh. Like if you got a boat, she'll like go on it with you, right? Or you can be her sugar daddy. Like she'll hang out with you if she can, you know, extract those resources from you.
Transactional, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but she's not like fucking with you like that, right?
Yeah.
I think the sweet spot is when you hear, man. You know what I'm saying? When she like admires you for whatever reason, right? And you can provide high value, you know, I think. Oh, it depends on who you ask, right? You might think this is the sweet spot, right? It really depends on what your goals are, you know what I'm saying? But I think this is the sweet spot. And I will, at least, if nothing else, I think you hold the frame here.
Right.
Right? I think you hold the frame, right? Because if you're not here, right, if you're not here, then you get the guys who are happy wife, happy life, or the motherfuckers who have their girlfriends fucking IG in their bio, and it's a picture, their profile pic is a picture of them. You know what I'm talking about? You know that guy? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I say all that to say, she's got to admire you, right? And you got to be able to supply high value, and if you cannot accomplish those things, I don't think you should be in a relationship.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And tell me what you think of this. You're an expert in this shit.
This is facts. I mean, the guy who's high value and low admiration might get like some pity attention, like pity sex or whatever.
Yeah, like, you know, he was there. I was drunk on his boat.
Well, yeah, this is. Did you come up with this, or is this?
I came up with this. Like, this shit just hit me one day, man. I didn't steal it. I don't know if admiration. I don't know if that's the word I'm using because I can't think of a fucking better.
It is admiration. It is admiration. It's like you have to be high up in her eyes to be seen as that guy, and you have to bring value to her life.
Yeah,
and I think it works. Vice versa as well. Like if a woman is low value and she's low admiration, you're just like, oh, I don't want to be around her.
Yeah, unless you got some really, really like big titties.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of guy you are, but yeah.
It depends on what you're into. All right. Yeah. But you know, listen, I don't tell women what to do or think because that's how you get demonetized. You can say whatever you want to guys.
I love that. I think I have something similar, but it's due to stress, right? Like if you know how to deal with, you got high work and low stress, so you're able to work really like at high levels and you're able to keep your stress levels low, you're probably going to be more successful than the guy who's high stress and high work, because at least
in life. Yeah.
It's like this works with everything else too.
You got to be able to stay calm.
Yeah.
If possible, you know, because people make dumb decisions when they get too emotional in either direction. They're either like too fucking excited or too stressed out or sad or mad or angry, right? You know, or horny, right? You make decisions that you wouldn't make in different states. The decisions people make is based off the emotions they feel at the time they're making the decision.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Right? Yeah. It's super important. So the state, if you can't control your state, then you can't control your decisions, right? Because your decisions are going to be filtered through that state.
Right.
Like I fucked some people up that I didn't have to, right? But I was just so mad. Like in my past when I was younger, right? And I saw a therapist about it, you know, because I was like, damn, man, it's like, it was happening too frequently. I was like, fuck, I didn't even have to fuck him up like that.
Mm.
Right? I remember like it was in high school. I sent this motherfucker to the fucking emergency room and I didn't even have to, right? I didn't even have to. And I feel bad about myself, right? Like I could have just handled that like way fucking calmer. Or there was one time I got into a fight with these guys and then all his friends beat my ass. Like I got jumped by like five guys. Got my ass beat. I never hit the ground, but I did get beat up. And I went to the emergency room. And I still got the scar right here. And it stitched up my mouth. They stitched up the inside of my mouth. And I'm like, fuck, I didn't have to do that shit.
you were looking for five guys.
Yeah, the five.
Fuck you up.
or like people had like had sex with people that, you know, just because they were horny, right? But they like they wouldn't have made the decision under the circumstances. That's why I disagree with the whole nofap shit, right? Because you can't get too horny, man. You might fuck anybody. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Eckhart Tolle talks about this. He says this is the pain body, right? Whenever you're making decisions out of the pain body, just ask yourself, am I making a decision out of my pain body? Like, am I just having an emotional, physical reaction to this situation instead of a logical one where I can actually think through it? What was
the easier way to think about this?
Because
I want to answer it. I can tell it's good. When you said be able to work hard and handle stress, you'd be more successful.
Mm.
I believe that. And I think another way to think about it is, and maybe this is me just being immature, but I just really think, what would James Bond do? I think about that all the time. Like I probably ask myself that multiple times a day. And it's always the right decision.
Right.
Whatever it is. It's always the right decision, except for, you know, he would get drunk and do it.
Yeah. It's more inspired. It's more inspired decision, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, what would James Bond do? All right. He probably wouldn't do this or that. You know?
Right. What's one thing, if you could do only one thing for your health and one thing for fitness, and you could only stick to this one, you couldn't do anything else. What would those two things be? Because when we hopped on this call, I told you, you're getting bigger and you're also getting older. Whereas most of the time, it's the other way around for people, right? As they get older, they're getting smaller and unhealthier and all that stuff. So what's that one thing?
Well, before I answer that, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, like I started doing testosterone replacement therapy when I was 38, right? Contrary to popular belief, I was never on any performance-enhancing drugs before that. But I understand why people say that. Because sometimes I used to see myself and like, yeah, I get it. I get it. I understand why they say that shit. I get it. But, okay, if I had to pick one, just one, it'd be this.
Mm.
Scale, man. I've been carrying this around for over 10 years, right? And I weigh everything I eat. Or I scan the label, or you know, and I track everything in MyFitnessPal. Ask me any, I can tell you last 10 years, pick any day, I'll tell you exactly what I ate, how many calories I had, how much protein I had, you know, the macronutrient breakdown. And then I also track how many calories I burn with the Oura Ring. Like it, people say these fitness trackers, they always, oh, it's not accurate. It's accurate enough, right? It's not, because here's the thing, food labels, this is gonna fuck you up. Food labels, as far as the FDA is concerned, they're allowed to be up to 20% off.
Wow.
In any direction, right? So something, if some says 1,000 calories, it might be 1,200. It might be fucking 800. but knowing that, right? So this is not accurate either, right? You know, it's probably more accurate than 20% off, right?
Right.
But what we're trying to do is keep a tight range, right? We know there's room for error, and we're trying to keep that range of error super tight. That's what I do. And it's served me well, man. It served me well. And this is the reason people thought I was on fucking steroids so long, right? Because no one does that. Like, there's no one carrying a scale around wearing a food. The only other person I saw do this was Connor Murphy back in the day. And people thought he was on roids when he wasn't. Like, he really wasn't, you know, at the time. I don't know what he's on some other, you know, that brother's walking different paths. But, and that's cool, right? You know, like, I'm not, who am I to judge, man?
Right.
I've done some really, really bad things in my life, right? I'm not here to judge anybody on anything. And he's the only other person I knew who did that, you know, and.
Right.
And we both had results that people thought were impossible. See, here's the thing. When you talk about pushing yourself, really doing things the best you can do it, when you start doing that shit, man, you'll hit a level where you'll be doing shit that people just won't be able to believe, right? It'd be incomprehensible to them. It'd be like, there's no way that they can fathom it. You get what I'm saying? And that's what you want. what you want. You don't want to be so much better than them that they can't even fucking believe it. Their mind can't even reconcile this shit. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens when you really start pushing yourself.
That's what I started doing that myself, is I started tracking every day. Like, and I'm trying to even eat the same thing, like, day in, day out, just to...
It makes it easier. I don't do that. Because to me, it's become fun. It's like a game. It's like, all right, I got this much left. I got to hit there. What can I eat there? I enjoy it. It becomes fun to me. It's arduous initially, but then it becomes fucking monotonous. And then now I'm trying to make it more fun, you know, by mixing it up. But I rather it, first it's arduous, then it's monotonous, and then you find ways to make it fun. Gamify it. It's like you motherfuckers are playing Fortnite and shit. I'm playing fucking MyFitnessPal.
How much time do you have? I want to be cognizant of your time here.
Looking at my calendar, that was a two-part question. I don't know if I answered though.
We got a second part to that. That's why I'm
okay. Asking. No, I'm good.
Okay, so it's second part for fitness.
I thought that was for fitness.
I see that more as for health. Maybe there's another one you can do for health. It's up to you. What would be those two things?
Okay, for like just health, like longevity, you mean?
Yeah. Like, for example, I use my water is Aqua True filtered water. It's reverse osmosis of water. It's nerd shit.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I drink any kind of water, but that's me, right? You know, I think. For overall health, this is weird. I think people should get blood work more often, right? Because check it out, planes almost never crash. That's because the maintenance crew inspects it every time it lands, right? So they don't wait till shit starts falling apart to inspect it. But people, what we do is we wait till there's a problem and then treat it. But if you get the blood work up front, you can prevent it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can see things before they happen, right? For example, I got some blood work and they said my cholesterol was like super high. And it's a genetic predisposition. Like a lot of people in my family are on statin medication for it. It's normal in my family. But it's, I didn't want to go on that shit because it has a lot of side effects. And that's why I started keto, because I read some literature to show that for some people, not everyone, that the ketogenic diet will can actually improve cholesterol levels. And
right.
Immediately that shit happened for me. And but I also felt better. I looked better. Skin was clearer. People say it, you know, I look younger, you know. But it was because I got the blood work early. You know what I'm saying?
How many times
it's a problem.
Yeah. How many times a year do you do blood work?
I don't know. Now I do it way more because I'm on TRT and they got to take my blood all the time. But it was at least probably once a year, right? Mm. Because there was no glaring problems, but I'm looking for shit.
Right.
Like we're looking for problems before they become big problems. And I was trying to maximize, or I was trying to optimize. So even now, like when we do blood work, we're trying to optimize. Like, how can we make me feel even better? I haven't been sick in, it's been 7 years.
Wow. That's crazy. Did you feel like when you moved to Miami, your health got better because you're getting sun every day versus New York, right? Because your morning routine is you go on that walk and you do all that stuff. So,
you know what? I took a lot of vitamin D, pause, when I was in when I was in New York in the winter time. I don't even want to say how much I took because I don't want it to inspire anyone to take that much. It was, but it was based off my blood work, right? And you know, people of color, we got to have more vitamin D because our skin repels it. The melanin repels it, right? And this is why COVID hit that African American and Latino community so hard, is because, you know, our Caucasian counterparts were able to get more vitamin D than we were. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's just in general. So I just took a lot. And then in the summertime, I was always outside. So I don't think it was a big, I mean, I'd rather have sunlight than vitamin D, I guess, than ingest it. But I haven't seen a big difference.
Okay. What are the big differences between New York and Miami? Because, of course, I'm assuming you moved to Miami for the positive benefits of the businesses, right? Tax benefits.
Tax benefits. It was the only reason.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I would have did it anyway because that was the main reason, right? Also, my son and his mom, they moved to Georgia.
Mm.
And I didn't want to move to Georgia.
Atlanta sucks, man. Well, there's different places in Georgia, but Atlanta sucks.
Listen, bro. Listen. It's not for me. Right? And there's another part of Atlanta you don't know about, right? You know, so I lived there for a year, and I quickly found out that Ludacris, Young Jeezy, man, they left a lot of shit out when they were talking about Atlanta. They left a lot of shit out, man. It's, you know, like how in the maybe 80s and 90s, San Francisco had a real reputation for homosexuals, right? Like that was like there's like Mecca almost for black homosexuals. It's Atlanta.
Mm.
I don't know why. I have some theories on why. I think because there's all boys. There's all boys historically black college there. And I don't know what kind of heterosexual guy who wants to go to college with all boys, right? So I think it just kind of attracted a lot of them. And I don't got nothing against them, right? Like they cool, man. You know what I'm saying? They cool, man. I got gay family members, gay homies. I've been to a gay wedding. However, when I'm in Atlanta, it's just like I got to be on. It's just like, oh no, man. I like women. It's like you got to tell them all the time. I get hit on in Atlanta, like more frequently than I like. I ain't got a problem with them. I just don't want to be involved in that aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? We do business together, man. You know, we can, you know, it's cool, man. I've been to gay weddings, man. Ain't no problem. It's just it's a little much for me, man. A little too much attention.
Yeah.
It's like I found out what being like a hot chick with some big titties feel like when I was in Atlanta. Oh, this is what it's like. This is what it's like being a hot chick.
I personally didn't like the food in Atlanta. The food just anywhere we went, man, everybody was telling us like, go here, go here. I'm like, yo, this place sucks for food. Like, there isn't one place I went to that just had good food. In my opinion, maybe I didn't go to.
Yeah, and maybe that's, you know, I found some good food there, but it's super easy on keto, man. Just go to the barbecue place, find the barbecue place. You know what I'm saying? And you good? Go to the steakhouse. You good? So I think my diet may help. Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to be closer to them. You know, so this is close, and you know. No state income tax. Gotta love that. I got a raise just before I move here. And I mean, it's not without its flaws, you know. It's not without its flaws. But I enjoy it.
What books have you read that's shifted either you personally or your business that you would recommend everybody needs to read?
My favorite book of all time is How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Really? Wow.
It's my favorite book of all time. I think it should be required reading. In high schools, like if I was in charge of the education system, I think the world would be a better place. You know, people knew what's in that book. That's like more of a personal thing, but as far as like straight up business, Influence by Robert Cialdini. I read that book about once a month, read or listen to it once a month.
Wow.
And every time I learn something new, right? Because it's not a book you read. You got this book you study, man. You need to know that shit. You need to know that shit. And it's super helpful for me. A personal one was Relentless by, I got it tattooed on me because it had such an impact on me when I read it. It was, I think before that, you know, people would say shit like, man, you working too hard. You need to relax, man. You got to enjoy life. You got to enjoy life and live a little. And I was like, damn, man, maybe something's wrong with me, right? You know, maybe I'm tripping. Then I read that book. I'm like, oh, no, this is what's required. Oh, this is what's required. And also, this is what really fucking, this might be a game changer for some of the listeners. When people are saying that enjoy life shit, they're talking about, typically they're talking about hedonism, right? They're talking about hedonism. You know, they want to get drunk, go to parties, go on vacation, have sex with fucking random people, whatever. And I'm not casting aspersions on any of those activities. Like that, I've done them all, right? But it's if that's the only way you can enjoy life, then that saddens me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's escapism.
Right.
Right? It's escapism. It saddens me. Right? And the reason it saddens me because you can only do that shit sparingly. Right? You can only do it every once in a while, which means if that's the only way you can enjoy life, then most of the time you're not enjoying life. Right? And if you can switch your perspective to enjoy pushing yourself, to enjoy seeing what you're made of, to enjoy building something, right? Then you can enjoy life every day. Like, I'm just as happy here in front of my computer as I am on vacation. Right? In fact, the vacations and shit is more like obligatory, right? I do it for like family, girlfriends, shit like that, you know? And left to my own devices, I wouldn't choose to do those things, right? But I find a way to enjoy when I do it, you know? I want to get back in the game. Like, I enjoy pushing myself. And if you can switch your... If you can switch your associations with pain and pleasure to the point where you enjoy doing these things, then you can enjoy life every day. Like, I'm legit happier than a person who says I need to enjoy life more, right? Because they can only enjoy life with the hedonism. That's what they're telling me. You need to enjoy life, man. You don't enjoy life. Oh, you told me you can only enjoy life with hedonism. That's sad. That's legit sad to me. And they don't understand how selfish they are, right? Because hedonism only helps you, right? You know, if I work on my business, I help customers, right? I can pay my employees more. That can help their family, right? You know, you can't make money. People have to give it to you for or they have to right. give you money in exchange for some sort of product or service that they think is as valuable or more valuable than what they exchange for the currency they exchange for it. So you have to help people. You have to help people to get money. Right. But they think, oh, just enjoy it. These motherfuckers have not even contemplated that that might be a selfish way to live life. You know, they think I'm selfish because I want to get money. I don't really give a fuck about the money. I give a fuck about being the best version of myself that's that I have the possibility to create.
It's interesting you say this because I feel like when people go on vacation, they're like, oh, I don't want to go back. And my thought process is like, I can't fucking wait to go back. Like, I'm almost bored of this shit. I want to go back and do the daily, like, get back on my routine. And, like, I enjoy it.
Yeah. You want to find a way to enjoy it, right? You know, but it's right. like, yeah, you want to put your jersey back on. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, we play the game, right? Like, when athletes retire, they're fucking sad. You know, you know, they're ready to get back on the court. They do it because they love it, and they don't understand that we're like that. And I wish I could teach people that. You know, you know what it is, Mo? Mm. It's all the homie Freud said that he was a coked up pervert. You know that, right? But he also he said some good shit, man. He said some fire ass shit, and he said the reason anybody does anything is they're trying to they're moving towards pleasure or away from pain, perceived pleasure or perceived pain. What you've done, Mo, is the reason you feel that way because you changed your associations with pain and pleasure. You get what I'm saying? Like when you're not working on your business, you kind of feel bad, right? That's now painful for you, and when you're out here working on yourself, working on your business, building this thing, you associate pleasure with that. You change your association with pain and pleasure. So it's not discipline anymore.
Right.
Discipline is amateur hour. Like if you need discipline to do things, it's good to have it and to be able to deploy it when necessary. But if you're dependent on discipline, that's not going to get you far, right? The working real badasses love the game. They've changed their associations with pain and pleasure.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing was it just came from evolution. Like it was just, there's a good book called How the Mind Works by Steven Pinker. And he talks about how we almost have these modules in our brain, like a computer, right? Mm. But the thing is that if you put these modules under a certain amount of pressure, those modules start to change. And so I feel like I feel like when people say you need to enjoy life, what they're really saying is my dopamine system is completely fucked up and this is the only way I can enjoy life. Because if you talk to a farmer who has a basic life, who just wakes up and milks his cows and then eats his food and then goes to sleep, he's enjoying life. So it's only based off of what you know and what you've experienced. So I think those people's dopamine system is fucked. And I also think they've only put that pressure on their brain. They're like, I need to go to work Monday to Friday, and then I go on the weekends and I get super drunk, and this is my evolution environment. Like, this is how my brain works, this is how my body works, this is how my schedule works. But if you switch the modules and you put yourself under enough, it's the same thing with my relationship. Like, I think when I first got into a relationship, my brain didn't want to be in a relationship because I've been so used to just going around and fucking girls and doing all this stuff. Yeah, my brain just wasn't used to it. It was like, what the fuck is going on? But after some time, I think my brain switched. And now I can't see myself not being in a relationship. Even if I am not with my partner in the future or I'm not with my girlfriend in the future, I'm probably going to get into a relationship again and get another girlfriend. Yeah. Just because my brain works that way now because I put it under enough pressure. And I just think that's if people were to put themselves under enough pressure and start to enjoy working, at some point they don't want to go the other way because now their brain is used to this. It's evolved to this environment and these activities and tasks.
Because you have different associations with pain and pleasure. You know what I'm saying? It's not discipline anymore. Yeah. It's not discipline anymore. That's how you go. The only way I figured out how to help people expedite that process of changing associations is someone called the list of hate and the list of great. List of hate, you make a list of all the people who fucking did you wrong, all the people who talk shit about you, all the people said you wouldn't fail, cheated on you, whatever. Look at that list every morning. You got to understand that when you don't fucking, if you don't accomplish your goals, one, they wasn't hating. They were just right. It wasn't hate. It was just a fair assessment of your potential. Right? The onus is on you to prove them right. And the only way to hurt them is to prove them wrong. Right? You know, because you can't fuck people up anymore. Right? So you got to just do that. And, you know, so I tell people to start their day off with the list of hate. I know it's counterintuitive, right? But it's just to change the associations, right? I'm saying you got to live with that forever, right? It's just right. We just want to change our association and then look at the list of great, right? So you make imagine a version of yourself that accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish. What kind of attributes would that person have, right? What time does the person that when does he work out? When does he wake up? Does he work out? Does he eat right? Is he focused? Is he surfing the internet? Does he spend hours on porn or whatever the shit? The positive attributes that person has, and look at that every morning too. And every time you start acting congruent with what's on your list of great, what's going to happen is you're going to get like a little dopamine. You're going to feel good about yourself. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And then over time, these two lists, you change your association with pain and pleasure. You get what I'm saying? So now Now it doesn't take discipline to stop watching Netflix. It's like you associate pain with that because now you know the haters win. And the haters win if you do that. And you're not living up to the version of yourself that you need to be to hit your goal. You know that. Like you're cognizant of this, right? Now you're not on autopilot no more. You understand, ooh, this is not getting me where I need to be. You know? And you start associating pain with these negative things. And you don't have to fucking worry about quitting the vices or abstaining. Like, you'll want to.
Yeah.
And it won't take discipline. Discipline is amateur hour, man. The higher level is when you want to do the thing.
And I feel like your brain just gets, like, it would be harder for me to just enjoy life and go party and shit right now than it is to just work.
If I sleep past 5 a.m., I hate myself a little bit. I fucking hate myself a little bit. But that's because... You know, that's how I trained my brain to, like, it would take discipline for me to sleep in. It takes discipline for me to go on a vacation. It takes discipline for me to go party, right? Like, I'm going to a basketball game on Saturday, on Friday, right? But I'm doing that, you know, just because, you know, sometimes with the friends, my girls, so one of my other friends in town, I'm doing that, you know, because you got to keep a social circle, right? But it took discipline to do that instead of I'd rather be here. Working. I know that sounds fucking crazy. Like, I'd rather be here working.
Yeah.
And people say it's an addiction, right? But that's the addiction you want. An addiction that fucking, you know, lays the foundation for you, your family, you know, you're putting stuff out in the marketplace that people enjoy, that they benefit from, right? People benefit from your hard work. That's the thing that people understand. Other humans benefit from your hard work. No one benefits from you enjoying life except for you, right? They don't understand how selfish they are when they say this shit. You know, they don't even think about it. That's why they're poor, right? You got to think about other people to make money. You got to think about what other people want, and that's why they broke.
You think it's addiction? I don't even think it's addiction. I think that's just like viewing someone in the Amazon rainforest who hunts all day as an addiction. Yeah, yeah. Like, why doesn't that guy just chill? I was like, no, he is just evolved to hunt all day. It's what he does.
Yeah, you know, the word addiction has a negative connotation, right? You know, but it doesn't have to, right? It doesn't have to. We put that negativity on it. Words mean whatever we want it to mean, right? Like, there's a lot of shit. I'm addicted to oxygen, straight up. If I don't get it for a few minutes, man, it's gonna be a problem. You know, I'm addicted to food, right? You know, if I don't get food, man, for like long enough time, it's gonna be a problem, man. You know, like, so like, not all addictions are bad. I'm addicted to spending time with my son, right? You can apply that moniker to anything, you know. It doesn't, you know, right. It's negative if you think it is. It's negative if it affects you negatively.
Right.
Oxygen seems to be good for me. I've been doing it for 41 years, inhaling oxygen, exhaling carbon dioxide. I'm addicted to it, but it doesn't seem to be a problem.
Right. What I like to do here as we get towards the end is do some rapid fire questions.
Hold on, real quick, man. Is this the book I'm supposed to be looking for? Is this the book? I'll buy this shit right now.
Yeah. Steven Pinker has a lot of.
Is this it? How the Brain Works. I was looking for it. This is a motherfucking name.
No, DK. No. It's How the Mind Works by Steven Pinker.
Oh, How the Mind Works.
Yeah.
I'll look for it later. All right.
He's got a bunch of stuff on like human nature, and it's really cool stuff. Okay, rapid fire questions. Three traits your friends would use to describe you.
Discipline. Hilarious and generous. I really think people would. I think that's how to describe.
Three traits you're trying to work on or improve on.
It's funny. I haven't thought about that recently. Like, because I have skills I'm trying to work on. I haven't thought about traits. I'm not actively trying to develop any traits. I'm actively working on building up my skill set in different domains. But there's no traits I'm actively trying to. If I had to pick one, it would be even more calm than I am now, right? Even less reactive. You know, like somebody said, I was at the mall and it was the fucking stair, the escalator was broke, but I didn't see the sign. Somebody had moved the sign. I was gonna walk up it, and this fucking janitor motherfucker, he got like kind of like, he was angry, you know? And if I was to do it again, and I responded by threatening his life, and if I could do it again, but that was like the default response, you know, to anger. Like, you can't play around with aggression. Like, that's the thing. I don't respond well. I don't respond well to aggression. You know what I'm saying? It's very rare, maybe because I don't get a lot of practice with it, right? No, people usually don't talk tough to me. You know what I'm saying? For a variety of reasons, and so when it happens. I go back to the, you know, I grew up in an environment where responding to aggression with, you know, intense aggression, you know, or violence immediately was rewarded. And I still have some work to do to train that out of me. If I could do that again, I wouldn't have said nothing. I'd have just stared him down until he cowered away, you know, but I didn't have to threaten his life.
What is
it? It wasn't a threat. It was like for real. Like I was eager to fuck him up, you know? And
right.
And it's like, damn, I need to be calmer, you know?
What is your greatest fear?
It's somewhere in between either my son not looking up to me or me not liking who he becomes. I have some friends who have like kids and they weren't in their life like that, and they don't like their sons, and that just sounds awful to me. Like, me and my dad were best friends, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would come home from college, high school, and hang out with him instead of other people because I wanted to be around. That was my dog, and but I looked up to him, you know. I think it was a part of that. We had fun together, but I also looked up to him. And if, like, for whatever reason, he didn't look up to me, that would I think that's my biggest fear. Like, I think about that all the time. I just think about, you know, how am I gonna tell him to do something if I'm not doing it? How am I gonna tell him he can be whatever he wants? And he's like, damn, Brandon, that's all you wanted, man, was a few million? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you what? Motherfuckers got fucking boats and planes and shit. You know, you only got a few million, so man, that's all you wanted? That must be or he's gonna think it's bullshit that I say you can do whatever you want, right? So it's like I guess I'm always thinking about impressing a fucking 6-year-old, you know, but like, I think that, right. All my biggest fears have to do with him, you know, like either him, like not being successful, like me not liking him because he's not successful or he grows up to be a bitch ass nigga or some shit. You know, and like I'm actively seeking to making sure that's not the case. You know.
Okay. What is one failure that you learn from the most? Or experience, whatever you want to call it.
My failure.
Yeah. Or it could be others, but personally, yours is probably going to be the best.
I think if I would have approached, here's what it is. You know, I had a therapist once tell me that what I'm about to say is not good. It's not something I should think about, right? It's too much pressure to put on myself. But, you know, that bitch is poor, man. So, like, what am I doing listening to poor people, man? And if I was taking success as seriously in my early 20s as I am now, I think there's a possibility or there's a way I could still have a dad. Meaning, right, I don't know what the number is, but there is an amount of money that if I had it, I know I could have solved my father's problems and or help make him better. You get what I'm saying? I don't know what that number is, but there is a number. You know what I'm saying? Had I took life more seriously up until that point, I still have a dad. You know? So I kind of vowed to myself that I'll never be in a position where I can't help out the people who need my help, who I care about. Right, so like in 2022, my cousin died, you know, and we were real close. Like, we grew up a block away from each other. We got sent to the same military school. We went to the same college. We were in New York at the same time. Then he moved here. Then I moved here right after. And he's got like two kids, and he fucking died in a car crash. Right, so like I've just been there for trying to be in his kids' lives as much as possible. You know. You know, paying for school, you know, getting them shit, being there for the holidays and stuff. You know, every weekend I'm not with my son, I'm with them. Right. So every weekend I'm with, you know, just trying my best, you know, just because I never want to, you know, even though I couldn't save him, it's like, all right, I can be there for his kids, you know, and that's what I've been making a strong effort to do.
I love that. I mean, hindsight is always 20/20 as well, right?
Yeah. I was a kid, right? That is a lot of pressure to put on a kid, but like, it's not untrue either, you know? Right. And so it's like I don't sit around crying about it. I just think, okay, that's a lesson. I had to learn that lesson the hard way, but now it'll never happen again, you know?
If someone were to take over your business today, let's say you were to sell your business, what would they do differently to grow that business or scale that business?
They would grow it less around like an attractive character or a star character, right? It would be more like more the brand itself would be less reliance on one person. And I also think I'd have to do that in order to sell it. You know what I'm saying? Like right. it had to be less reliance on one person. And I'm confident it would put the bulk of their efforts into that initially.
What's the last book you read?
It was this one. It was Buy Back Your Time by my homie, all right, Dan Martell. Yeah. Oh, we talked about this, I think, before.
Yeah.
Off camera. Yeah, this is like, I had to, you came by and I hadn't read the book. And I'm like, fuck, I gotta read it today. So I like read it all in one day. Really great book. Really
great book. What's one quote that you live by?
This is from a dude named Wallace D. Waddles. It's from a book called The Science of Getting Rich. And it was actually a book The Secret was based on. However, she left this part out And it's wild to me that she left this part out, because he says it like, I don't know, fucking close to 50 times throughout the book. And every time he says it, it's all caps. He says, do all that can be done each day. Mm. Just think about that. Think about that. That's not work hard, right? That's not work hard. That's do all that can be done. And that's not sometimes, it's not most of the time, it's each day. So there's a difference between working hard and doing all that can be done. Mm. And then there's a difference between doing something sometimes and doing it every day. That's a problem with people, man. They fucking do shit every once in a while, sometimes, and they think they're doing something, right? But all they're doing is just enough to fail, right? Because if you didn't do anything, you can't fail, right? So they're doing enough just to fail, and then they become haters, right? But if you do all that can be done each day, like really think about that, all that can be done, capacity each day, you can't lose. Like you can't lose. It's impossible. And what that looks like, let me just show you. I think the listeners may, so they can get a fucking idea of what I'm talking about. Is like look at my calendar, man. Right, it's packed. Ain't a whole lot of white space. And if I do leave white space, it's shit like, because I knew this might go over. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, but ain't a whole lot of white space. Right. I got everything in here. When I'm gonna wake up, when I'm gonna do shit, you know, fucking eat, counting, you know, and like tomorrow is just packed. Every hour is accounted for. Right. This is what it looks like. All that can be done each day from fucking wake up to to go to sleep. And that's right. Each day. That's not sometimes. It's not most of the time. You don't feed your kids sometimes, asshole. You know, they take your kids away from it. You don't walk your dog sometimes. You get shit all over the house, right? You know, and it won't be the dog's fault, right? People, like, that's what people do with their life. They don't do what they're supposed to do every day. Then they blame all these other circumstances, right? Oh, it's fucking Trump. It's Biden. It's the fucking immigrants. It's the fucking blacks. It's the whites. It's the, you know, it's whatever. It's like, no, motherfucker. If you did all that can be done each day, all that other shit could be twice as bad and you'd still be victorious, right? Do all that can be done each day. I'll go visit my son twice a month. I'm 2 weekends, every other weekend I'm with my son. I wake up early and start working, right? You know, now I have to, you know, even though I can't just work that day, I have to be with my son the bulk of the day. I still get up and work. But like raising a well-adjusted child is part of my goals, right? So it's in line with my goals, right? So like I'm still working on my goals even when we're at fucking the trampoline park. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's still working on one of my goals, right? You know, do all that can be done each day. Capacity.
I love that. Last two fun questions. If reincarnation was real and you had to come back as a different animal, you couldn't be a human, what would you come back with?
If I could, if it was a human, it'd be a fucking hot chick. It ain't even gonna be a hot chick. Just let me be a chick, right? And then what I'll do is I'll work as much as I can up until I'm 18, just saving up money, and I'll get every fucking piece of plastic surgery available, you know. And I would give anything to be a hot chick, man. I mean, I'm not saying women have it easier, right? They have different problems that we don't have to, like, nobody's gonna fucking SA me, right? You know? So, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to worry about like shit like that, you know. But that leverage, right? There's nothing, I don't think there's anything more powerful than the male libido. Right? There's whole economies. Like the majority of the economy is built off that shit. You know what I'm saying? With either directly or indirectly, right? However, to answer your question, if I had to come back as a fucking animal, probably a house cat.
A house cat,
yeah, because it ain't got to do nothing, right? You know, it ain't got no responsibilities, man. You know what I'm saying? They sleep all day. They really just chilling. Like people don't even expect the cat to do nothing, right? The only thing you got to do is eat the bugs when they, you know, like the rodents. Cats are amazing hunters. They're not indigenous to North America. They were brought over here by the Europeans because they needed something to kill the mice on the boats and shit. That's the only reason they're here. right? Because they're just amazing hunters. Like, amazing. I saw a cat in the street jump up and grab a bird. It was, like, higher than me, right? You know, I used to have a cat in New York, George. And George could jump from the fucking floor to the top of the refrigerator with one jump. Like, dog can't do that shit. Yeah. Right? The motherfucker was agile. You never had, and you didn't have to clean them. They clean themselves. They just shit in the box. You just clean the box. You know, it's slept all day, chilling, man. Yeah. House cat, man.
If you could have one superpower, what would you have?
I think I'm going to go with tell the future. Mm. Right? Because then it's like, think about that. Think about that. I know who's going to win every game this Sunday. Shit, man, I bet. Like, I just, man, you know how much money I make? I put all my money on it. I know what's going to happen. Right? I know what's going to happen in the stock market today. Oh, I'm just fucking trading options, chilling. Like, he fucking make a few million dollars a day. I'd make unlimited money. I'd be the richest man in the world.
Right.
In no time. Like, for real. In not a long time, I'd be the richest man in the world. If I knew what the stock market was going to do and every fucking outcome of every sports game, I'd have the fucking long, the biggest parlay. It'd be like fucking 30 fucking games on one parlay. I'm getting 1,000-to-1 odds and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's and then taking that, throwing it all on the motherfucking whatever options and shit, I'd be a balling ass motherfucker. I'd be so fucking rich, bro. You're retarded.
That's it, man. That's all I have for you. Tell the future, dude. Appreciate you hopping on. And anybody who's listening to this, where can they find more of you?
Here's the thing. You guys can tell the future, right? I can tell your future. All I got to do is look at your calendar, right? Look at your calendar. I have videos on it on YouTube. Reactions. I have videos on the calendar. Without the calendar, I'm nothing. Like, I wouldn't be here without the calendar. Like, if I had to pick one thing, it's to plan your time in your calendar and try to squeeze and use it to squeeze as much life out of each day as possible, right? You're leaving so much success on the table by not allocating your most important resource, right? Like, every day is like planned out meticulously. Like, I'll move shit around, but it's the calendar. I can look at your calendar, Mo Abasi, and tell your future. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing: when people tell me they don't have time, shit, like, oh, let me see your calendar, and it's nothing in there. Like, oh, of course you don't have time. You're not planning it, bro. Fuck you think is gonna happen? Fuck you think is gonna happen, dipshit? You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck you thought was gonna happen? Yeah, and you can find me on YouTube. You can find me, just search Brandon Carter. It's the one with a million subscribers. You can find me on Instagram. It's King Keto, KingKeto. About a million subscribers. Over a million subscribers. A million followers. That was probably the best way to. Oh, I got a TikTok, you know. Big Brandon Carter on TikTok. About only 400. That's a millisecond. But yeah, that's what you can find.
Okay, so TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I'll leave the link to your course as well.
You can also find me in your motherfucking girls' fantasies. You know what I'm saying?
Leave me in the DMs.
You can find me in the Richard Mills store sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Looking for the new timepiece. You know what I'm saying?
All right, guys, go check them out, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and then I'm going to leave a link to your course as well.
Okay, yeah, so give them the Baller Mindset course, that's free, that's 100% free. I put that out there just so people can, you know, I got a lot of money, so it's nothing you can buy there. It's not a funnel where you're going to buy it. It's legit just free because, you know, if you... I really like when people tell me that I help them accomplish their goals, and that's really going to help you, like, accomplish your financial goals. And a lot of stuff we talked about here on this podcast, I go into more detail in that course. And my goal is for that is make some fucking bread, make some of yourself, and you can afford the like real expensive shit I got to sell you. You know what I'm saying? After I've already helped you become successful, then you'll know I can help you become successful, and you'll have some disposable income, and maybe, maybe you'll come to me to help you get some more of that money, man. The way I help them out. You know?
Exactly. Thanks, man. Appreciate you hopping on. And I guess we'll stay on for a minute here. But for everybody else, all the links down below. And I would suggest you to watch this a second time because we covered a lot. Just go through it.